Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to another one of our political chats. And it has been an exciting week in British politics, which is not something you can normally say, but man, a lot's gone on. So we're going to talk about the showdown in Gorton and Denton, the by-election that has been called there because of the resignation of the Labour MP there, and everything that's going on that you need to know. But this is coming in the shadow of today's PMQs, where Keir Starmer got absolutely raked over the coals in front of the entire country by not just Kenny Badenoch, but what's the Lib Dem?
Ed Davey. Yeah. Well, he had a weird angle on it.
He had a strange angle, but the point is, a lot of stuff started coming out, and Keir Starmer basically fumbled every answer. Superb. And so it may well be that essentially by tomorrow, a lot has changed very, very quickly. And so you get this hopefully the same day that we're recording it. But by tomorrow, whatever is happening with that will overshadow a lot of what we're talking here. Now, it's not that it'll render it invalid, because essentially all of the dice are cast now, right? So all of the people who will be candidates in Gorton and Denton are candidates. Mm-hmm. But the nature of the polling might change. Very rapidly.
That's true. But also, all of these other chats we've done against a backdrop of Keir Starmer probably can't be forced out.
Correct.
He's probably going to run until the next election. And there's going to be this slow bleed effect within the mainstream parties.
It might not be slow.
And now it suddenly looks like, Starmer's position is really tenuous, because basically he had to stand up in the House of Commons and say, I knew that Jeffrey Epstein was a dodgy paedophile. Well, as opposed to any other kind, but yeah, he was a dodgy paedophile intelligence operative. I knew that, and I knew that Mandelson was working with him.
I knew that Mandelson was buddies with him and stayed at his townhouses, even after he was let out of jail for being a convicted paedophile.
Yes, and then after that, I appointed him as ambassador to the US.
Yes,
which is not a good look.
But it gets a bit deeper as well, because he knew that Mandelson was the mentor of Morgan McSweeney.
Oh, that's the other angle, yes.
And he called Morgan McSweeney, quote, essential to his Labour government. And therefore, you've got really big questions. It's like, well, okay. I mean, he let, for example, in the last cabinet reshuffle, Mandelson be the person who oversaw that. And so it was Mandelson's... Yeah, exactly. It's all just coming out today. That's the thing. We'll cover this all in a lot more depth.
Yeah.
But basically, it kind of looks like Epstein's controlling the Labour Party and controlling Keir Starmer's government. And so it's just like, okay, well, so the point is, in British politics, normally things happen glacially, but then things happen all at once. And things are currently happening all at once. And that will affect the nature of the Gorton and Denton by-election. Because I think what it's essentially going to do is knock Labour out, right? I think that if things go as I'm actually expecting them to go, the Labour vote will just continue to collapse.
Well, the standard narrative is that basically Labour have got until the coming May's by-elections. But if this one is devastating
local elections.
Yeah, but if this one is devastating enough, then, you know, the Labour backbenchers might well decide we're not waiting until even May, let alone the next election.
Definitely out for Starmer. So,
oh, yes.
Who knows where the chips are going to fall? We will cover it in more detail when we have more information, but just be aware, some of these things could change. Although I think actually the essential nature of what's happening here isn't going to change. So let's get into Gorton and Denton. So this, as you can see, is a constituency in Manchester. And you'll notice that...
This is the constituency?
Yes.
That is a very weird shape.
That is a bit of a gerrymandered looking shape, isn't it?
A bit, yeah.
It's a bit weird. But I think that what we can do is have a look at it from the ethnic perspective. So as you can see... Over here, we've got, there's Hyde and there's Inner Manchester, right? So you can see we've got Hyde and Inner Manchester. So you've got a bit of space there. So you can assess, right, okay. So here are the English areas, 85%+. You've got the sort of border areas that are getting a bit weaker. But then you've got the inner minority areas here. But even then, there's still a fair number of English people in these areas, just the minority. And so what this means is that about, here are the actual numbers, about a third of the constituency is Muslim, and roughly we'll just summarise, you know, non-English, and two-thirds are English. So actually, it's kind of a good representation of the country at large right now.
Yeah.
Deeply segregated areas as well.
And just going back, it is native and Muslim, because sometimes in these sort of big cities you get like the Hindu cluster and the Jewish cluster.
Yeah, but not in this one.
None of those are they were the present, but very in tiny true. Numbers. It is just, you know, natives and Muslims.
Yes. As we've spoken about before, even the minorities self-segregate from one another. Mm. So you have an overwhelming, it's a Muslim area in the on the left-hand side towards the inner of Manchester. And like everywhere else, the migrants are in the town centres and the English go out to the countryside surrounding the town and the city. And that's what's happened in Gorton and Denton, as you can see. So the Christian and Nun are the English population, because, of course, a large number of us are atheists now. And then, as you said, there's a couple of thousand non-English, non-Muslim people.
Yep.
They're not really going to be swinging the vote either way. So this, like I said, this really comes down to the question of baseness versus Islam. This is actually a good representation of what's happening in the country. So the background on Gorton and Denton, local people have been putting out saying, well, look, it's kind of a classic thing where it was historically separate, but because of the sprawl of the growth...
Right.
About the 20th century, they ended up connecting. But of course, they feel very different. Gorton being the Muslim area is younger, denser, far more ethnically diverse. Denton is settled, older, and retains a strong town identity, closer in character to places like Hyde or Ashton. So we've got the shires versus the diversity.
Okay. Right, this is a proper clash in one constituency.
Absolutely. This is essentially what is going to be the way that British politics are in like 30 years' time, probably not even that long, frankly. Mm. But the future of British politics, I think, is actually being played out by this. And so it's just a really interesting thing to have pop up, actually. And then, so we can look at the seat details in more detail. And you see the turnout is terrible, as the turnout is everywhere, right? The last, in 2024, not even half of people turned out. This. So the fact that Labour got 50% of that vote share means they could quite easily have been overthrown if just the other half had turned out.
Well, yeah, I mean, and by-elections have much higher turnout as well, because it gets the attention, it gets the focus. All the candidates, if you will not be able to walk down the high street without having somebody in a rosette come up to you.
Because there's nowhere else to be.
Yep.
All of the party leaders are in Gorton and Denton
right now. There's a hell of a lot of focus. They're going to have volunteers for all the political parties coming from all over the country. Everybody is going to get showered with leaflets. So the turnout is going to be sort of 70-80%, as it typically is for a by-election. And so these numbers, I mean, as you can see, yeah, so 2024...
If you look at it, Labour got about 23% of the vote, and they won the 50% share.
Of those who actually voted.
Those who actually voted. But of all those who could have potentially voted, that's just under a quarter of the actual voters were Labour voters. So there is a huge disenfranchised constituency in Gorton and Denton that, of course, all of the parties are going to be like, right, okay, we want these guys coming out and voting for us.
But also look how unbedded that Labour vote is, because in the previous election, so that would have been the Boris one, when Boris kind of broke the red wall, as they call it, which is this is going to be one of. It looks like the... Who won it last time?
Well, this was the one where Keir Starmer won after Rishi. And actually, I didn't look before that. I think it's always been Labour, though. This is one of those ones that's always been Labour, that Labour are losing. But as you can see, they're losing more than half of what they had in 2024 in the predicted votes. And, of course, where are these going? Well, Reform and the Greens. So the standard shattering effect that we've been talking about, where the Labour Party is getting cracked, and then the shards are just going to Reform and the Green Party and a couple of others to others, but mostly they're the prime beneficiaries, as you can see. And this gives Reform a 61% chance of winning, according to their odds.
I mean, that said, again, it's not that strong. I mean, there's definitely everything to play for, because if we were to accept the notion, I know we've argued against this in previous episodes, if we were to accept the notion that the Conservative plus Reform is the right-wing vote, it's like 41%, whereas the left-wing vote, and let's take that as Labour and the Green Party, I mean, it is stronger, I mean, a bit stronger, especially if you add the Lib Dems in.
But not that much stronger.
No.
And that's on a 50% turnout, less than 50% turnout. I mean, if the other 50% happened to be, like, I don't know which constituencies are the ones turning out in the areas, right? So it could be that actually most of the English people in this constituency just don't turn out to vote because they're disillusioned with politics. And so if that remaining 50% is like 40% native English, 10% Muslim, well, then that would actually make this a very deeply conservative seat. It's just those people aren't voting. And so I don't know that that's the case, by the way, just to be clear. But the point is, who knows? But the Muslim communities tend to be very politically active, and because of the sort of tight networks in them, they get out and they get their guys and they make them vote in certain patterns.
Well, and the big advantage they've got is they're more likely to act in a coordinated fashion.
Exactly. And so the entire community tends to have a good turnout generally,
yes,
in areas where they know they're going to be able to get something out of it.
But I would imagine both Labour and the Greens are spending a lot of time sitting down with community leaders
100%.
And saying, here's the deal that we're going to do for you.
Yes.
And then that vote will move largely as a block, because it'll be disseminated down through key individuals and mosques.
Correct. But nobody is sitting down with any English community leaders, because no, there aren't any.
Well, if you set yourself up as a native community leader, you get arrested. So,
well, yeah,
there's that.
Absolutely. I mean, you would literally be called Tommy Robinson and you'd be persecuted by the state. So the point being is there are a huge number of votes that are uncounted here, unaccounted for, and I suspect they're probably in the English community. So if you had a revolutionary message, say, look, guys, we're going to just smash this. We're going to turn this constituency conservative. This is going to be a nativist concern constituency. Who knows? You might be able to rally a lot of those people who otherwise, I think, probably feel disenfranchised. Mm. But anyway, the issue here, as you say, there's everything to play for, right? Now, this is a really interesting thing, because the left is more than happy to tactically vote. You can, as we've spoken about, you can see the percentages of who is in what class bracket. And the Conservatives and Reform, as we now know, basically represent the working classes of Britain.
Yes.
And the Greens, Lib Dems represent affluent white people. The Greens represent the immigrant bloc and the lefty student bloc. And the Labour Party will also represent like an upper middle class vote that is rapidly dwindling. So the Conservatives actually are the ones who may well be playing kingmaker here. They actually seem to be kind of irresponsibly splitting the vote, because that 9% would be a lot better with Reform. They can't win this. There's no way they're going to win this. And so that 9% is irresponsibly taking away from Reform's right-wing vote.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Kemi Badenoch would be able to see it in that light, given that she's been embarrassed by so many Tories, you know, flocking away, and more will probably go. But yeah, from the Tory voter point of view, yes, it would be irresponsible to vote Tory.
Yes. And so that's a genuinely fascinating thing. We've got a ward-by-ward breakdown, which I think really exemplifies the point here. So for each ward that's in the constituency, obviously all Labour, but you can see how they're fracturing, and it's roughly a two-thirds versus one-third split.
Oh, well, that's where you started.
Where we started. So you can see precisely, this is, I think, genuinely going to be reflective of the next paradigm of politics. Now, it won't necessarily be the Greens in each area, but what I think is going to happen is that the left votes will essentially choose a series of regional parties. Like in Wales, it will be Plaid Cymru, as we'll get onto this in a little bit, but it'll be Plaid Cymru. In Scotland, it'll be the SNP. In ethnic areas, it'll be the Green Party. In white areas, it'll be the Lib Dem Party, right? Because they all basically agree on everything. they'll just look at the demographics of the constituency and they'll say, right, okay, if you're left, vote for Lib Dems. And there's already campaigns to do this. It's called the Left Vote and stuff like this. There's already campaigns to do this. And I think their voters will, like with Caerphilly, as I was going to cover later, but we'll cover it now, as with Caerphilly in the by-election here, as you can see, they basically just jumped straight to Plaid. Obviously, Wales, deeply Labour area, and had been forever. But Labour are massively unpopular in Wales now because a lot of Labour's vote has gone to Reform. And so, bam, they went straight to Plaid.
I mean, that is interesting about left-wing voters, that they're willing to do that. Just flip on a dime like that.
Well, it just tells you everything you need to know about the left-wing parties. They're all the same party, ultimately. They all agree on the same thing. They all have the same platform: more immigrants, more woke, more social government spending, you know, more NHS, more all.
Possibly it's simpler than that. It's that they don't know what they're for; they know what they're against. And at the moment, what they're against is Nigel Farage, and it's as simple as that.
But that's the point, isn't it? It's both things. Mm. Like, they're all for the same things. Obviously, you know, yes. Labour, Lib Dems, Plaid Cymru, and Greens.
Well, and the Conservatives, to be fair, when it comes to actual policy, but yeah.
We'll ignore the Conservatives now. But they're all for more immigration. They're all for minority rights. They're all for, you know, woke stuff, trans and kids, all that sort of stuff. They're all for massive social spending. So if you're a left-wing voter, okay, you're not questioning the substance of what it is they are offering. What the question is the degree to which they are offering it, right? So you're like, okay, I'm a more realistic Labour voter. I'm not going to vote for the Greens. Yeah, Zach Polanski, I like him, but he's in a dream world, you know? Yep. And so I don't think he's going to get that. But I think Ed Miliband will get a lot of that. You know, he'll put in the wind farms. Zach Polanski just won't get anywhere, you know, because he's a dreamer. So I'm going to vote for Labour. It's not that you don't want those same things. You want exactly the same things. It's just the scale to which you get it. And so this makes left-wing tactical voting very, very plausible. Because they look at the landscape and say, all right, Labour are down to 12%. But Plaid are at 38%. Yeah, I'm just going to have to vote for Plaid. You know, I have to stop Nigel Farage, the fascist in Reform. It's like, okay, I mean, you're delusional, but that is genuinely how they think. So it's
a quick sidebar on the left's history with tactical voting. In 1997, Tony Blair had a huge landslide win. The only reason it wasn't bigger is because all of the left-wing papers were running this campaign to get rid of the Tories. And what they showed is in every constituency whether you should vote Lib Dem or Labour.
Yeah.
And so many people followed that advice. It actually limited... If that advice had not been put out, Labour's win would have been far bigger than even the historic landslide that Tony Blair got.
The point being, the left is very happy to
tactically vote,
and the right is not. Right, the right doesn't tactically vote. The right essentially votes through loyalty, and a sort of more grounded personal interest. Right, which is why someone like Robert Jemrick could win his seat in Newark against Reform as a Conservative, while Nigel Farage was storming the polls. I mean, he's defected now, of course, so who knows what happens. But the point is, there's more sort of stickiness on the right when it comes to their vote. And this is what makes the Conservative 9% there such a slap in the face, because it's entirely possible that about 10% of whatever the remaining vote other than the Greens or the Labour Party, and they're in neck and neck for this. But I think that this stuff with Mandelson and the current collapse that Labour are suffering, I don't think they're going to get the 22% that predicted that. I'm sure they're going
to. No, but it could easily help the Greens enough. Enough people abandon Labour, they go to the Greens, and this really is on a knife edge.
Exactly. It's quite conceivable that 10% of Labour's votes go straight to the Greens, because, and not just because of the Mandelson stuff, but that will just grease the slide. So, yeah, no, I was annoyed with Keir Starmer's Labour Party anyway, and now... Yeah, I know, and it looks like the Greens are going to be the party that can win for the left. Great, I'm going to vote left. And so the Conservatives basically will end up scuppering Reform in the same way that Reform scuppered the Conservatives in the last general. And so it's like, right, Conservatives, you have to really start thinking about this in a tactical way, unless you want to hand the Greens a seat.
Yep.
And just to be clear, like, the Labour Party are kind of bonkers, right? They've decided to run a foreign woman, but she's not a Muslim, and she's not English. She's Greek. Let's watch this.
Okay.
I am a proud Mancunian woman. I have walked the streets of this constituency.
Yeah. Proper Greek accent and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are they trying to do? They're trying to split the difference. Are they trying to say, to the native half, look, we've got somebody who isn't a Muslim who looks, you know, well,
she's European.
She's European. And while also saying to the Muslim third, we've picked a foreigner. Are they trying to split the difference? And it's not a random thing, right? They would have, at this level of politics or something like this, they would have sat in a room and discussed this for hours. I mean, just the aspect of the ethnicity.
No doubt. And there are wider photos where it's basically all just middle-class women who are surrounding her as well. And so this feels very much like a kind of collective decision that was made in a very managerial style about someone who has paper qualifications, as in, you know, this person is like a counsellor here or something like this, and they have been for 5 years, ever since they moved here from Greece. And so...
Is she a first-generation immigrant as well, then?
Well, of course. I mean, you can tell by her accent.
Right.
I am a proud Mancunian... I can't do a Greek accent, but like that's... Her name's Angeliki Stogia. It's like, but who the hell does she represent in this constituency? And the answer is, you know,
They're trying to split the difference. That's what they're trying to do.
Exactly. But that's, you know, you can't serve two masters. You should have either chosen a Muslim or an Englishwoman, right?
Yeah.
An Englishman. Like, or an Englishwoman. Like, you should have done that. And of course, the defeated male is still here for some reason. Andy Burnham's out giving her his full backing. It's like, that is a cucking that is quite phenomenal, really. Because only a week ago, Starmer was being, you know, Stalin-esque in his no. Right. We've executed Andy Burnham's political career, and now Starmer's currently getting it right up the arse about Mandelson. And it's just like, okay, why haven't you left, Andy? You know, what are you doing there? And it's like, I'm doing this for party. And it's like, but Starmer's ruining your party.
Well, I suppose the trouble for Labour MPs is they don't have anywhere to go. I mean, I suppose they could go to the Greens, but it's so mental. Even they must blanch at that. I mean, they haven't got a Reform Party to go to.
The Lib Dems? I mean, I don't know. But anyway, the point being, I think Labour, obviously we talked about this previously, Andy Burnham was the only logical choice for Labour.
Yeah,
but
obviously.
Of course, he represented a present threat to Starmer, which, I mean, it might be irrelevant now because, honestly, I do think this thing is going to kill Starmer off politically. But Starmer nixed that, and now so he's just there, like, defeated male supporting his own replacement, who happens to be a foreign woman, ironically. Who I think has just got no chance whatsoever. I think their share is just going to take.
I mean, by the way, if you're a left-wing man, you're going to have to get used to this being because that is what your ideology leads to.
Yes. Yes. I mean, this. Yeah, exactly. I mean, how would you even argue against it?
Mm.
Right. What would be the objection? Anyway, moving on. So, Zach Polansky has said, quote, Gorton and Denton by-election is a battle for the soul of our country. And I think that, in a way, it kind of is. And that's what I've been framing this as. It kind of is. Are we going to be a minoritarian country that's run by minorities for minorities, or are we going to be a nativist country that is run by minorities for the natives? Because it's the Greens and the Reform Party that are basically on the table here. Right?
What does it mean by community power versus billionaire backers? Who are the billionaires in Gorton and Denton?
Great question. I don't know.
Well, the only billionaire that I can think of is the one connected to the Labour Party, Jeffrey Epstein, but I mean, he's dead now, or somewhere.
Allegedly, yeah. Great question. So anyway, they were like, right, okay, we're gonna get our community power. Yeah. We've got a plumber called Hannah Spencer.
He's a plumber?
No. Are you gonna be shocked to hear that she's not a plumber?
I was gonna say if a plumber turned up and it was Hannah Spencer, I'd be like, yeah, but I kind of want the job done properly, love. So
yeah. I mean, I every plumber I've ever seen has been fairly burly because it involves a lot of physical labour. And, you know, she seems like a lovely girl, but she's not very burly.
I'm sure she'd make a great school teacher or something. But... Well,
yeah. So she's a counsellor, a plumber, a greyhound lover, and a Green Party candidate for Gorton and Denton.
Greyhounds are nice.
Yeah, sure. I, you know, who doesn't love dogs? Well, a lot of the voters for the Green Party don't like dogs, actually.
No, that's true.
Yeah, anyway, so she's their pick. And she doesn't seem terribly remarkable. Although people started digging into her and they realised, oh, right, actually, she's a clean energy technician, as in she works in an office.
Oh.
She is some sort of administrator. Right. And she's married to an associate principal scientist at AstraZeneca.
Ooh, right. So she's even got the COVID links.
But also, that's elite class. So the voters being the elite class and the immigrants, well, she's the elite class that's coming up for the immigrants.
Maybe that's who Zach Polanski was talking about with the billionaires, all the people backing him.
Maybe, who knows? And so it's like, no, she's not a plumber. She's a clean energy technician. She doesn't install pipes or anything. You know, I know what you think of when you think of a plumber. She is not that. She works in an office.
What is a clean energy technician? Is that an advocate for spending money on...
It's going to be someone who sends a lot of emails during the day to organise, like, you know, wind farms or whatever.
And has meetings.
Has meetings.
At least 7 meetings a day.
Exactly. Right. She's going to be an administrator of some sort. And she's married to an associate principal scientist at AstraZeneca, which... sounds like a pretty important job to me. And so it's like, right, okay, interesting. And she came out and did this video of her doing plastering, which is like, okay, but plumbers, do they do plastering? And then look at the boarding behind her, right? Look how, that's weird and messy.
That's been through the wars a bit.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I've seen a few rooms being redone. Never looked like that. But anyway, she's got this as if she's now a builder. Which was weird. And people who were builders were like, well, hang on a second. I watched this video. She can't plaster. That's never going on the wall. She can't board out. We can assume this is some sort of prop or personal project. Nobody's paying for that amateur job. You know, this is all PR fakery, which it seems like it obviously was.
Yeah, so, this is like she's bought property that has a barn attached to it and she's turning it into an art studio or something like that and doing something like that.
And like in the video, she's like spinning that board around and slapping the plaster onto it. But she's doing it in a very inarticulate, unprofessional way. And so the builders were just like, she's never done this before.
Yeah.
This is not what she does. Okay. Fine, and it's fine. You should have just been honest. Should have just come out and said, yeah, she's an office worker from Gorton and Denton or Manchester, local area. That's fine. You know, if they'd just come out and said, you know, she's just an office worker, it would be like, okay, yeah, a lot of people are. You know, nothing.
And you wouldn't think about it any further, would you?
When you hear her accent, it's clearly a local accent. Sounds like a working class accent. You just be like, yeah, okay, local office worker from the area.
Yes.
Perfectly normal candidate. You know, even if she's married to some principal scientist at AstraZeneca.
Yes.
Okay, fine, you know.
But they really tried to focus on the plumbing thing, did they?
They literally called her a plumber. In fact, the BBC, I think, even called her a plumber.
Right.
There we go, the 34-year-old plumber. She's not a plumber.
Yes.
Sorry, what are you doing? And she's a councillor at the Greens with the Greens on Trafford Council. So it's like, right, okay, don't know why you're lying about this, but okay. There's the green candidate. I'm sure she'll do fine because there'll be backroom deals. They're currently speaking to community leaders and saying, look, we're the Green Party. See Moffin Alley? See Zach Polanski? We're here to get you paid. We're here to extract those resources for you. Mm. Benefits are going up if we win. So trust us. Patronage network, solid. The Labour Party are doubtless making the same pitch, but of course the Labour Party are dying and the Muslim vote can see it, and they've been abandoning it anyway, which is why we've got the Muslim independence. There's been a general peeling away of the Muslims from Labour because Starmer is a Zionist, frankly, and they know it. And so...
Speaking about Muslim independence, isn't there another party, Jeremy Corbyn's thing?
We'll get to those.
Ah.
We'll get to those.
Right.
The Liberal Democrats know they can't win this, and so they've announced Jackie Piercy as their candidate.
Right.
She's got no chance. Just complete non-entity.
Yep.
Moving on. So, let's talk about the left not splitting the vote. Because Galloway, this is the kind of constituency that Galloway has historically fought very aggressively and won in.
Yeah, well, because he's got name recognition. He's plain speaking. So, at least, I mean, I actually quite like the guy. I would never vote for him, but I don't mind him that much.
He's a great rhetorician, but the thing is, do you remember the Respect Party in Bradford?
Yes. But he really galvanises the Muslim vote.
He goes out there and says, I'm going to be the champion of the Muslims. Campaign. And he's a great campaigner. Campaigns very hard. And I think if he were to win this, he would be the MP in British history who had won the most elections.
Mm.
He's been in Parliament like 8 times or something. Right. So
he moves his seat every time as well.
Every single time. Yeah. And what he does is he cynically galvanises sectarian votes in whichever constituency, gets them to vote for him, gives the communist foreigner rhetoric you know, the last one was about Gaza and things like this, obviously. Yeah. He was
pitching. Oh, the next one probably will be as well.
Yeah, doubtless the next one will be as well. And so he could have done a lot of damage to the left in this constituency and possibly even won it himself.
Right. Oh, but he's not going to do it this time.
But he's not going to do it this time, right? So
is that because of a deal with the Greens?
Well, not publicly known yet, right? Right. But he did say Labour have woefully failed the people of the constituency. In fact, this is a great statement. And to be honest with you, I agree with you. I like hearing George Galloway talk.
Mm.
You know, he without a doubt he's a superb rhetorician, and we have very few people.
It would be so funny to have him back in Parliament.
Oh yeah, I don't agree with him on almost anything.
No.
Apart from this, he says Labour was the enemy of the British people. Adding the British people have become poorer while the government spent money on a wasteful war in Ukraine. And he also opposed the introduction of digital IDs. And added, this by-election was triggered by Labour in an attempt to replace Starmer with a new acceptable face. Whoever wins, Labour lose, and Starmer must resign. Oh, yeah, I agree with him.
Solid.
To be honest, yeah.
Solid.
Anyway, so the left, you know, the sort of like troublemaker on the left, Galloway, isn't fielding a candidate. Neither are your party. Now, I get the feeling it's not so much that your party are actually tactically voting, although that is the broad frame of what they say. I honestly think it's incompetence. And the fact that your party haven't got their stuff together yet, and so haven't actually got any boots on the ground here. As you can see, the single greatest threat to this country is far-right reform government. This danger is actively being facilitated by a failing Labour government, which is prioritising the interests of the rich and powerful, blah, blah, blah. Your party is currently holding our first leadership elections, after which the work of formally constituting branches will begin. Right, you haven't got your shit together.
They're still squabbling over who's going to be leader.
Yes, because remember, they voted against the MPs being the leaders.
Remember, Zara
Sultana, obviously Corbyn was meant to be the leader of your party, but they had a vote because they feel they have to have a vote on everything, and Zara Sultana ginned up sufficient members of your party to vote against Corbyn being the leader and having non-MPs as the leader. So they're having, like, you know, a party, a council, a constituency leadership or something. And it's just like, right, this is going nowhere. You guys are incompetent.
This is just the Monty Python sketch over and over again with this party. They haven't moved past square one.
Yes.
In the whatever it is 2 years they've been operating.
Total student politics.
Yes.
Beautiful to see. Love to see it. Yeah. But the point is they're not there splitting the left-wing vote. Not because they don't want to, but because they're incompetent. And then you have people like Vince Cable from the Liberal Democrats. Now, he's not the leader, obviously. He's a former party leader. But he did tell the iPaper that the Lib Dems and progressive voters should unite behind Labour in Greater Manchester in order to stop Farage. So there are... Mm. So you've got the sort of soft left types who are like, yeah, vote Labour. And you've got the hard left types and the immigrants who are probably going to vote Greens. So maybe the left vote will actually be split.
Well, he's looking that way, isn't it?
Right. And so that makes it all the more incumbent on the Conservatives. Don't you fucking dare split that vote, right? We all have our problems with Nigel Farage. We all have our problems. But better to have our guys winning these totemic seats that are symbolic of what's going on than allowing it to go to the left. And it's entirely possible the left will just shift entirely.
But yes.
It may well be the bougie left vote Labour and the commie left vote Greens.
I mean, if I've got any faith left in the, you know, general public, I think they will get this message, though.
Hope so.
But it's not a difficult one at this point.
I think the average working class person in Gorton and Denton,
yes,
doubtless supports reform.
Right. I mean, what are they going to be looking at with the Tories that makes them think, yes, that's what I want?
Great question. I mean,
apart from a handful of boomers who made up their mind 30 years ago and haven't changed it.
Remember, that 9% is actually about 4.5% of the overall constituency as well.
Yeah.
But that 4.5% could be the thing that swings up, right? So if you are a white working class person in Gorton and Denton, honestly, you've got to get out and vote Farage, even if you're not normally a voter.
Those numbers you showed before, that was from the last election. And it was very questionable back then as to what momentum reform we're going to have. Now, they clearly have had solid momentum.
Yeah.
So I can't see that Tory vote holding up at all.
No. And fingers crossed it doesn't. But also, fingers crossed, as you said, it could well be the focus on the constituency in the national press, with all of the party leaders there, campaigning for their men, means that the turnout is a lot higher. And also, fingers crossed that we are correct in our assumption that the majority of people who just aren't turning out are the white majority in the constituency. And they're like, no, actually, we are going to go and give the government a bloody nose. Mm. We're going to give them a black eye over this. Because Reform's candidate is Matt Goodwin.
Right.
Matt, friend of the show, Goodwin, who's been on the show many times and I've talked to fairly regularly. So that's an interesting move.
Yeah.
Matt's been spending the last few years polishing his bona fides on the right.
Yeah, I mean, he comes out with a fairly strong line these days. I've got to say, I was suspicious of him to begin with because he was a academic who said, I'm studying the far right. It's like, ooh, what does that mean? Yeah. And I can normally guess. He's been saying the right things. He gives a good interview.
Yes, and I've had lots of, I've hung out with him and had many personal meetings with him just to talk about politics and have dinner and just, like, discuss the issues. And he's very concerned about demographics.
Okay.
And it's hard to... I mean, this has been his primary line. He was the one who put it in the Telegraph a few months back, where he was like, look, by 2044, Britons will be a white a majority in their own country.
Mm.
White Britons were a minority in their own country, and he was the one who's been mainstreaming that. And it's like, okay, if that's containment, if that's the hope not hate candidate, what are they containing from? Because that seems to be the far right position of, we're going to be a minority in our own country, we want that stopped.
Oh, he seems to have committed. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, if he's not committed, this is very deep cover.
Yes. Right?
Like, so, I can't read the man's mind or anything, yes. But... I personally don't get the impression that he's trying to deceive everyone.
I mean, I've heard that not just from you, but everybody who I know that knows him is legit. So I'll just take the view that, he was in deep cover while he was in academia.
And I don't even think it was that, because there's a video of him, like, in 2011 debating Tommy Robinson on TV.
Oh, yeah, I saw that the other day.
Yeah, and it's funny how young they both look. But the fact that they're having that conversation shows that Matt's interested in the subject. And I think what simply happened is the numbers have changed, right? Because back in 2011, the immigration's not great, but it wasn't like it was...
It didn't feel existential back then.
Exactly, it didn't feel existential. But post-Boris wave...
Yes.
Are you looking around? And Matt's got, daughters, he doesn't want to have them grow up in a country that isn't England. And so he's got a high public profile, and he's generally actually got a fairly clean figure when it comes to this kind of politics, right? He's got a couple of personal scandals in his past, which is about, having an affair with a woman, divorce and stuff. But it's not like the end of the world, and it's not like unique for a politician either. But also, he's pretty solid on the issues. He's not like some sort of, goggle-eyed radical who's going to start going off about something insane. Like,
is he a Manchester lad as well?
He is also from Manchester, yeah.
Right, okay.
He grew up in Manchester, and then, of course, in his academic career, moved to London or wherever. But he is actually from the Manchester area. I don't know what area of Manchester, personally Gordon and Denton, but he tweeted the other day that he used to deliver pizzas in his first car, in Gorton and Denton. So he's from that area.
Yes.
So
he knows it. He can speak credibly on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like he, in the Tommy Robinson interview from 2011, where Tommy was accusing him of being from London, he's like, no, I'm from Manchester. But, way before it was mattered. So he is from Manchester.
I totally see why Reform picked him.
Exactly, right? So actually, Matt Goodman is not a bad candidate, I think, here, because he's intellectually credible and I think relatively popular with the grassroots. And the average Reform voter is going to see, here's a white Englishman, academic, which they like.
Or a Mancunian.
But an academic who's on their side is always a well-loved thing. It's like the aristocrats. The white English actually don't have much in the way of class envy, actually.
No, they don't.
What they like, what they hate, is when the upper class are against them. Right. No, you're our Pokemon. You're meant to be on our team.
Well, there is a reason why Downton Abbey is so wildly popular.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, some posh people we can like.
And it's the same thing with Boris, right? Boris just did a very good job of putting it across. No, I'm on your team. I'm on your side. And they can be like, great, we've got a guy. And Matt can fulfill that role. So who knows? I don't think he's an innately objectionable choice for the candidacy and the constituency. And I think that the white working class there, he'll be persuasive to.
I mean, he's the only candidate on this list who I haven't thought is questionable. Every single other one, I just thought, why are you doing that?
Yeah, why that person?
Yeah.
You know, why are you lying?
This one makes sense.
Exactly. Matt actually makes quite a lot of sense here. So that's you know, actually not a bad choice. But then we have some other problems on the right. Not the problem, complexities on the right. So another candidate for Advance UK is friend of the show, Nick Buckley. Now, I like Nick. And I like Matt, and I haven't got a particular preference between them. And a lot of people have been like, oh no, what if you split the vote sufficiently? And that's actually a real question here. Now,
so I haven't actually met Matt. I have met Nick, and he's a good chap.
Very good chap.
Like Vance just doesn't have the air cover at this point, though.
Exactly, but what if it does get like 5 to 10%? Slices out that from reform.
I see your point, yeah.
And so, and now a lot of people are saying, right, it's irresponsible for them to run. But the counter argument is, well, they're a political party who's competing for the seat. Mm. Of course, they're going to run a candidate. And actually, Nick Buckley is not a bad candidate at all to run. He knows his stuff. He's from the area, he's got an MBE for his charity work in the area, right? So he is frankly, why isn't he in reform? This is one of those things. Don't get me wrong. I like Matt, and he's great. But if you think about it, actually, Matt probably would have been better in like Sussex or something, right? Being an academic who has the track record and can speak to middle-class audiences on Question Time, yeah, maybe he would have been better in the South, and actually Nick Buckley would be good as the Reform candidate in Manchester, being a Manchester lad with a credentialed history of charity work they got a bloody MBE for.
Well, I suppose the reason why he's not in Reform is Nigel Farage's sheer hostility to the online right.
Exactly. And despite that, Matt, the space between Matt and Nick is really minimal. Yeah. Like, politically...
They're going to agree on just about everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely everything. And so it's just one of those kind of like, oh, God, this is...
The only issue comes down to, can you tolerate the fragile ego of Nigel Farage and all the problems that come with that? And one of them has decided I can tolerate it, and the other one has decided I can't.
Not just that. A lot for Nigel, a lot of it is credentialism, right? Mm. As in... is this person a sort of, you know, known quantity who will definitely be a good boy in all times?
Yeah.
Nick, he's not like a controlled guy, you know, not like he's not, you know, he's not like, oh, I have a hand over me, so I'm going to make sure I don't say the wrong thing. He'll say what he thinks is the truth. And so, you know, he is, I guess, slightly more outspoken on certain...
Matt has more of a filter than Nick.
Exactly, yeah. Matt has more of a filter than Nick. Not that that's in any way a negative on Nick, because obviously, you know, I agree with him.
No, I like that.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. But the point is, Farage should be past this need for like an extremely sanitized filter at this point.
Yes.
Long past it, right?
The risk mitigation that he does all the time
is far too extreme.
Getting tedious now, it really is. Yeah.
And really, Nick Buckley should be running for reform. And if you were doing a sort of Trumpian takeover of the UK by just bringing the right together and saying, no, we're all in, lads, we're going for it, like Trump did in America, Nick Buckley would be the ideal candidate for this.
Yep. Right. Local but he can't do that because, I mean, he created Advance by getting rid of Ben Habib
exactly.
In a really personal way.
And now the cast-offs are coming back to haunt him. And it's like, okay, God. So basically...
And I just hope he doesn't govern like this. Because if he governs for the next 5 minutes when he's in 10 Downing Street, it's going to be this all the time. Things are going to come back and blow up on him.
Yeah. It's not ideal. Right. And so basically, you know, sorry, Nick, I have to say, I think people should vote for Matt because he's in the commanding position at the moment. And actually, I do think that Advance shouldn't have been contesting this just because of the frailty of the nature of the lead that they have. So, but I mean, I'm not going to cast him under the bus or anything and say Nick's a bad guy for doing it. No, there's a rival political party, and that's a strong argument. Totally fine, totally fair. You know, good luck to everyone involved. But, you know, I could see this being a problem further down the line, right? So anyway, let's see who the Tories are running. The Tories have chosen Charlotte Cadden. And honestly, she is the perfect mix of everything that's wrong with the Tories.
She looks like a police chief or something.
That's really, really, really interesting because she was a police officer for 30 years in both the Greater Manchester Police and the Met. And she really is basically everything that's wrong with the Tories.
Right.
You know, sorry to say.
She's got that DEI public sector look about her that just makes me think, I'm wary straight away. It's like a poisonous plant or a lizard with multiple colours.
I'm sure she's loving it. She's not bad, right? But it's one of those typical Tory, I have a foot in both camps. Oh. And it's like, okay, but who are you trying to win then? You know, you can't serve two masters. You are either left wing or you are right wing. You have to pick a wing and stick to it, right? So she, again, she's got her virtues, right? She said she wanted a proper inquiry on the grooming gags.
Okay,
she wants
good.
To get rid of carbon tax.
Good.
But she also set up and chaired the Police Sex Equality Network.
what does that look like? I mean,
well, it's a feminist network.
Ah.
Women's Equality Network in the police.
Which is actually suppressing the careers of men.
Yes.
Artificially.
And artificially advancing the careers of women. So, you
okay,
know that,
I don't like that.
You remember that image of the blonde girl and the Muslim girl at the door? It's that sort of thing, right? It's advancing women artificially through the ranks.
I mean, if there's one career where you really do need big, burly men, I mean, the police is pretty high up on that list.
Yeah. Police, fire department.
Yes.
Army.
Yes.
No women, sorry.
Yes.
Big burly men, because it's a physical job and you will be demanded.
We've all seen those videos go up on social media of two police women trying to arrest a man who doesn't cooperate.
He just pushes them off and then walks off. Yeah.
And what either happens is he gets away or a member of the public, a man, steps in.
Yeah.
And then they're able to complete the arrest. But it is a ridiculous thing.
Yeah, so she set up the Police Sex Equality and Equity Network to challenge work-based discrimination based on sex. It's like, right, so you've got your right-wing views, you have your very left-wing views, and so what are you?
A Tory.
Exactly. Exactly. You are just your average conservative who is trapped between two worlds and doesn't know which master they serve.
Yep.
She is a TERF, though, so that's good, I guess.
Another good point.
Yeah, but she's still one of those things. So not a strong candidate. She doesn't look like the most magnetic person either, which is important in politics.
No.
Really, and Jacob Rees-Mogg put out a video the other day saying, look, the Conservatives just shouldn't run anyone. Like, you know, we shouldn't be splitting the right-wing vote here. It's actually imperative that Reform win. We've got to start denying wins to the left, generally, broadly, no matter who it is. So come on, let's do it. They ran someone anyway, obviously.
I mean, the same issue is throughout all of this. They're not thinking about country. They're not even thinking about parties. They're thinking about their own career. Starmer is trying to hang on to the leadership of the Labour Party. Kemi is trying to hang on to the leadership of the Conservative Party. Farage is trying to hang on to the leadership of the... Everybody's just trying to hang on to their job.
It's remarkable, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you put it that way, but that is correct. Anyway, one party on the right that isn't splitting the vote is UKIP. Nick Tanconi put out a statement, which honestly was a good statement. UKIP were not interested in splitting votes to allow leftists to gain power. We are interested in uniting the right and preventing the communists from gaining further political influence over Britain. UKIP will be standing candidates in the 2029 election, but will not be looking to sabotage efforts to keep the left out of power. While we build our Christian army, UKIP's strategy will be to help unite the right. That's actually a really responsible thing to do.
Every time I see something from UKIP these days, I think, solid. The problem is they're busted brand. If you had held the line with who was the guy? Gerard Batten.
Yeah.
But no, they did the dirty on him, and then was it Richard Brain or something?
Yeah,
He was good. But they've just it's not a functional party anymore.
Yeah. Moral collapse, unfortunately, in UKIP. But that was a responsible statement and made that this was the final list. So you've got and Labour, Reform, Green, Conservatives, Lib Dems. The Social Democrat Party, Sebastian Moore, don't know anything about them, but they're going to poll very poorly. The Libertarian Party.
We have a Libertarian Party? I didn't know that.
Apparently, they're going to poll badly.
Right.
Advance UK, they've got the Monster Raving Loony Party for people.
I do like them.
Really?
Yes.
For people who feel that politics doesn't apply to them?
I think if I was living there, I probably would go for Matt Goodwin first and then Sir Oinkalot as my second choice.
I'd go for Nick second.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay, Nick, yeah, fair.
But then you've got a Rejoin EU party led by an Irishman. Thanks, bro.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Why do you just vote for Lib Dem, for God's sakes?
Yeah, exactly. Why wouldn't you vote for the Lib Dems if you wanted that? But anyway, then you've got at the very bottom the Communist League.
Oh, of course. obviously. Didn't know we had one of those either, but no, why not?
Shocked that they can be legal. But anyway, so that's...
And also the Communist League has got the poshest name on the entire list. He's a Hugo.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't look into them because they're not going to go anywhere. But anyway, so that's the list. And so as we can see, it's all to play for from basically every side. Reform are in the lead, but that lead is not insurmountable, nor is it guaranteed. And honestly, with the current events at the moment, it may well overtake the Labour Party anyway.
Yeah, and Labour gets flushed out, Green Party vote goes up, Green Party win.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to come down to Reform and the Green Party, I suspect, with the Conservatives essentially being the kingmaker here, the Conservative voter. Does the Conservative voter vote Tory and split the vote and ruin things, or do they swallow their pride, vote for Reform, and actually secure a right-wing seat? I think that's what it's going to be. And just to be clear, it's not Reform, not only is this a problem, but Reform aren't even in the clear, even if the Conservatives do choose to do that. Because you're aware that Tommy Robinson is wildly popular among Reform voters.
Oh, yeah.
Wildly popular.
Yeah.
They've had internal wranglings for a long, long time over the leadership's hatred of Tommy and the base's love of him, because they view Reform as an anti-Islam party. Most Reform voters really do think this is an anti-Islam party.
I mean, it's bizarre because, I mean, I've talked about this before. The people who are supporting Reform are ethnats. The people leading Reform are civnats. But Tommy kind of is a civnat.
He's a bit of a bridge between both worlds. Yeah. He is a civnat, but he does have nativist leanings, right?
So, I mean, he's probably more aligned politically with the Reform leadership than the Reform membership.
Yes.
And yet the Reform membership love him, and the Reform leadership can't help but slamming him all the time.
Correct. I mean, ideologically, there's not much difference between him and Nigel Farage.
There really isn't. In fact, what's the difference between Matt Goodwin and Tommy Robinson?
You know what? The Labour Party have been tweeting that out a lot, actually.
Okay.
Because I haven't actually got the link, but the Labour Party literally tweeted out a clip of Matt Goodwin saying, well, there's not much difference between me and Tommy Robinson.
There isn't.
Because there really isn't, right?
Yeah.
They're not raving racists, but they are nativists who are concerned about the demographic changes in the country.
Who's the other one? Douglas Murray. I mean, he's like a one-for-one politically with Tommy Robinson,
right,
except he sounds posh.
Yes. But the point being, who does the working class vote in Gorton and Denton support?
Oh, yeah, well, Tommy, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. They're going to be friends of Tommy Robinson. Yeah. And so it's kind of weird that Danny Kruger went on TV and was like, we don't want his support. Because this isn't even Nigel Farage's line anymore, right? Nigel Farage, he's been battered by his own electorate and constituents to the point where, because he used to be, oh no, I hate that Tommy Robinson, don't want him anywhere near me. And now he's like, oh, well, Tommy and I are just doing different things. You know, I think he's done good things on the grooming gangs, but he's not a politician, so I'm just getting on politically.
That would be a better answer.
Right, let's watch this quickly.
Danny, I just want to ask you, because there is a by-election coming up in Greater Manchester, in Gorton and Denton, and your candidate, Matthew Goodwin, who's the candidate for Reform, he's been endorsed by the far-right activist Tommy Robinson. I mean, are you comfortable with that?
No, not at all. No, we don't want his support, and it's up to him who he chooses to endorse. But, you know, people are free to do that. We had Bonnie Blue endorsing us too. We're not going to make a particular welcome to that. People will endorse us if they want to, but no, we absolutely stand against what Tommy Robinson stands for. We have a vision of a civic nationalism, of patriotism for this country, no matter where you come from. And that message is resonating across the country. All.
What an atrocious answer.
What an unforced error. I mean, why? Okay.
So every patriot in Gorton and Denton, of which I'm guessing there's quite a few, because they've got about a third of the vote off the bat before any of the campaigning had even happened, are going to hear that and go, no, I like Tommy. I thought you guys were the based patriot party.
I mean, if Tommy wanted to, he could speak up at this point and really poison the chances for Reform.
But he hasn't yet.
No.
As a time.
He probably won't, but...
Absolutely. But the reason is, like, Danny Kruger has really kind of interjected this into the debate because, of course, Labour have been hammering Matt Goodwin over and over, saying, 4 days ago, Matt Goodman was asked to distance himself from far-right extremist Tommy Robinson and endorsed him, and he failed to do so.
The only people who care, Labour, are people who are going to vote for you anyway.
Exactly.
Vote Green.
Exactly. Like, the white working class in Gordon and Denton, being so close to the Muslim community there, are going to be very aware of the problems that Tommy Robinson has been raising, are probably very sympathetic to him. Matt Goodman has done the correct thing here.
Some builder's labourer in Manchester is not going to see that tweet from the Labour Party and go, oh, right, oh, no.
Oh, no, not Tommy Robinson.
Yeah.
They're going to see Tommy walking and say, mate, I love you. And I've seen it. Like when I first met Tommy, like, I'd been recognised in the streets plenty and stuff like that. But I noticed the kind of men who would come up to Tommy regularly, and this was back in like 2017, they'd just be like, mate, love what you're doing, you know, really intensely, you know, because this is serious to them, right? And the Labour Party are like, yeah, well, Matt Goodman didn't diss himself. Well, that's probably wise, right? Yeah. Because Matt Goodman is going to be relying on a lot of Tommy Robinson fans in Gordon and Denton.
I mean, basically what it goes to show to me is Matt is a lot more switched on than Danny.
100%. Matt has taken the measure of what the temperature is here and has completely understood that this is just a complete kick in the face from Labour to themselves. Because, of course, as we've talked previously, a large percentage of Reform's current voter base are ex-Labour voters from the white working class who fundamentally are the ones who agree with Tommy Robinson themselves. So the student activist who is running the Labour Party social media has failed to understand Tommy Robinson's position in this entire discussion.
Yep.
And so Matt has actually really skillfully just, he hasn't really engaged with it. It's like, no.
Which is all you need to do.
It's all you need to do. Yeah. And even Farage is at the point where he's just like, well, you know, Tommy can do as he likes, we're just getting on with our job.
I mean, took Farage a long while to figure that out.
It took
still
a lot of rakes to the face to get to the point where it's like, oh no, I'm pissing off everyone who supports me, am I? Okay, it's fine. And so, anyway, Danny Kruger has kind of smacked into that, which has not been... not been wise. But the response from Labour has also been kind of bizarre. So that's like the Labour student section who are like, oh, he's failed to do that. And it's like, it's like Boris Johnson with the letterbox and the bum boys. Like, yeah, make everyone see that, because actually there are a lot of people who like Tommy and don't like you.
To be fair, if Matt Goodman really wanted to win, he would hold a rally with Tommy in the middle of whatever it is, Denton.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And that's the point, isn't it? Like, they're signalling to all of the pro-Tommy guys in Denton and Gordon and Denton. Yeah, no, Matt's for this, actually. And so, no, keep signaling, keep telling everyone. Yeah, by the way, he's the Tommy Robinson candidate. Oh, brilliant, really?
Yep.
And he's an academic and he's a patriot. Excellent, right? So another line of attack that the Labour have gone on to is that Matt Goodman isn't really British.
So this guy
is
attacking Matt Goodman.
This is an Indian Labour MP called Dr. Jeevan Sandhur is attacking Matt Goodwin for not being British. Should we watch it?
Yeah.
Your face just, what?
The thing about Matt Goodwin is he's not very British. The same actually goes to Tommy Robinson, who's just endorsed him. Matt thinks you can't really be British unless you're one, white, and two, you have the right great-grandparents. Now, Goodwin's definition means that Winston Churchill isn't really British, and I don't think Churchill would like that very much. But it's about a lot more than that. Goodwin doesn't get our British values, our history, our culture. Britain is and has always been made up of different communities that come together. Dozens of different accents. You say Bath in London and Bath up in Loughborough. And when different migrant communities came from across the Irish Sea, from India, from across the world, in fact, what was a former empire, those different communities came together to forge one British nation.
That's an amazing statement, isn't it? You can't be British without foreigners. It's not that you're English, Welsh, Scottish, Northern Irish, Cornish, whatever. No. You can't be British without Indians. You can't be British without Irishmen. You can't be British without people who come from across the seas. That's his and the Labour Party's perspective.
I mean, it's a hell of an inversion. And I got to admire him for playing the long game, because if that's a troll, it is beautifully done.
I mean, he's worked really hard for this.
I kind of want to move to Delhi, live there for 30 years, and then make a video like that explaining that, you know, Narendra Modi or whatever, he's not Indian because he's not Indian.
And it's just like my brother in Vishnu, you are literally an Indian. Matt Goodwin, is as English as the day is long. Look at him. Like, you know, if you were like looking at a lineup of different European ethnicities, you'd be like, yeah, he's the Englishman.
Yes.
He's the Brit. You know, you can tell Matt Goodwin is from this place.
Yeah. but not says Dr. Jeevan Sander.
It's just like, okay. That's not a very strong line of argument, I would suggest. What it implies is the Labour Party basically are out of narratives, right? Where are they going with this? Where are they going? So we'll go back to this to end up on. So basically, I think Labour are toast at this point. I think they don't have anything. I think the Greens will out-promise them on the patronage networks for the minority communities. I think the reputation of the Labour Party in these communities is tanked anyway. Because, I mean, Zach Polanski has been hard against Israel, despite the fact that he himself is Jewish. Whereas Keir Starmer is a Zionist. And this Israel-Gaza thing is a massive reason that the minorities are going either independent or to the Greens. Mm. So I think the Greens will clean up there and they'll take the Muslim vote over to them with them. I think the Labour Party is losing the white working class vote. And fingers crossed, a lot of the white working class who previously didn't vote are going to come out for them in large numbers. And if you're in Gordon and Denton, definitely think about getting these people who didn't turn out last time. You know, ask them, did you vote in 2024? And if they say no, you'd be like, look, we need you now.
When is the election?
It's in, I don't know, I can't remember. It's in a couple of months.
It's got a while. Yeah. Well, I'll make a prediction. Reform 29,000, Greens 27,000, something like that.
Let me quickly, I didn't even think to get the date.
I mean, the rate that things are moving, things God are knows what the state of the Labour Party is going to be by then.
26th of February. So it's,
okay.
So it's not even that far away.
No, a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so exactly, yeah, 3-4 weeks away. 3 weeks away. It looks like, from the best information that I can find now, basically you need to get the white working class out. Right? They have the numbers. I don't think they're going to go to the Labour Party. I think they are going to go to Reform. They need to smash it. Sorry to the other right-wing parties, but, you know, Matt Goodwin would be a good guy to have in Parliament. Right, he would at least be able to deliver a solid right-wing message. He's a friend, so hopefully, you know, things would be moving in the right direction if we got Matt in. And it's better than any of the alternatives. I don't want any of them getting any ground at this point.
No.
So all to play for, and it's actually quite an interesting representation of what the country is looking like. And honestly, I think it just comes down to we, the English, have to go out and make it happen. We've got the numbers, we just need the motivation, and Matt's a good choice, frankly. So let's get out and do it.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.